Matt Monday, Tim Benz, and Mark Madden with you. No Steelers Monday to talk about today. Hopefully you're watching Madden Benz Unfiltered on Friday. We talked a lot about the Steelers' loss to the Cleveland Browns on Thursday night, but still plenty to recap and analyze there. As far as what's going wrong with the offense, Mark Madden from 105.9 The X. Listen to him Monday through Friday on The X, 3 until 6. You greet him four times a week at Trib Live. No Unfiltered this week because Mark's on vacation for the first couple days of the week. So, Mark, we'll get your thoughts here. When it comes to the offense, what besides the quarterback play stands out to you as the biggest problem facing the Steelers right now heading into that Jets game?
Well, unexpectedly, the offensive line, it's not a strength. People are overblowing that it doesn't stink.
It's damning with faint praise.
Stink. Yeah. Yeah, they're doing okay. Chooks in particular is doing okay. And they kept Myles Garrett from running amok at Cleveland. They only allowed one sack, although that number's not everything. Garrett, you know, got in Trubisky's face. He bull rushed, you know, his blocker back into the quarterback a few times. So it wasn't like they totally blanketed the Cleveland pass rush, but they're doing okay. Trubisky had a okay first half, a pretty bad second half. Najee Harris looks clueless. Or hurt, or both. And the offensive play calling is juvenile. Everything's to the sideline. There's nothing in the middle. There's nothing deep. It's scared. Whether Trubisky's scared or whether Matt Canada's scared, I don't know, but it's scared. It's cowardly. Old Yeller ain't no dog, Tim. So if you wanted me to place most of the blame in any one area, I'd say it's the play calling, the offensive coordinator. But the Steelers' problems are great, and they are many, and that applies on offense, certainly. But let's not keep the defense blameless.
Oh, no. Either. No, I was going to get to that, but go right ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, you tell me. I mean, if you lose one guy and you stink and you can't win, were you ever anything close to elite in the first place?
Especially when it comes to the rush defense. I think T.J. Watt's pretty good against the run. He's elite when it comes to rushing the passer. But especially in rush defense, it's a 1/11th mentality, and the other 10 of the 11 should be doing their job better.
Oh, no question. And I feel like Cam Hayward, I'm choosing my words carefully, Tim, because I have nothing but respect for Cam Hayward, but this is the first time I've ever wondered how much is left in his tank. Because since Watt got hurt, he's been absorbing a lot of double teams. And Alex Highsmith, to his credit, was he tied for the league lead in sacks or was going into Sunday's action with 4.5 and he had a sack and a half at Cleveland, but he's not getting the double teams. Cam Hayward is, and Cam Hayward's invisible. I mean, he's just invisible. I never thought I'd say that about the guy. Well, I knew I would eventually, but maybe not this soon, maybe not now.
And where he has always dominated, at least in the last, I'd say, 3 years, where his play has started to get the credit that it deserves, has been overmatching guards and pushing them back in the pocket on pass plays. But whatever's happening in the run game, he's got to figure out a way around whatever blocking schemes are coming at him. Or, you know, in the case of the other players along the defensive line, making up for that. But to your point, Mark, you know, like, Aaron Donald sees three players at a time, too, and he still makes plays. And Cam wants to be compared to Aaron Donald, so he has to.
Yeah, he ain't doing much. And, again, he better. Somebody better. I mean, that defense just, it just isn't. Tim, it's not very good. I mean, you know, but then again, it wasn't good last year, and we pretended it was elite. We just applied that label to it because of the big names. But that defense is making over $100 million as a group. It's got to do more than that. As I often quote Mario Lemieux, you make the most money, you got to do more. And it's absolutely not. And some of their flaws are really showing up on D that maybe we should have anticipated. You know, we're so used to Devin Bush being terrible that now he's merely below average.
It's the offensive line theory applied to somebody on defense.
Yeah. And, you know, and we think he's doing better, and he is doing better, but he's not playing good. Akello Witherspoon makes a good play once in a while. Cam Sutton makes a good play once in a while. But mostly they're making bad plays. You know, Miles Jack's the one guy who I think's delivered. And maybe not even enough. And maybe his numbers are inflated because he's having to, you know, make too many tackles. Guys who get to the second level. Maybe Minka Fitzpatrick is, you know, making plays because they get to him too easy. And I thought it's worth noting that Cleveland stayed away from Minka. You know, Minka had to take away a pick in each of the first two games. I didn't see him around the ball too much, and that's because I think the ball was kept away from him. So as soon as Watt was hurt, the trickle down to the rest of that defense and being able to game plan against the remaining good components of that defense, I can't help but think it became a lot easier. In fact, not a lot easier, Tim, just easy, period.
Right, because when you throw extra blockers at Watt, he still eats them up. But in the process of eating them up, it frees up Hayward, it frees up Highsmith, it forces the ball to come out in a less-than-planned fashion towards Fitzpatrick, and that's the exact trickle-down you're talking about.
Well, and one thing that we don't talk about enough, and I wrote a column about this for the Trib, my Sunday hot take. We look at stats and say, okay, this guy's doing his job. Tim, the reason you pay guys big money is to win games, to contribute to winning games. TJ Watt got that huge contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they win when he plays and they lose when he doesn't, right?
Pretty much.
But because he doesn't play so often, I question whether he's worth the money because he's not helping win enough games. Like, I see people say he's proved his value because they're 0-6-1 when he doesn't play or – you know, has his play limited due to injury? That's over the past 2 years, right? 0-6-1?
Yeah.
I think that proves that they should have franchised him and seen how it played out with his injuries and his body. You know, Deontay Johnson got that big extension, right? 2 years, I think it was almost $37 million. And, you know, his stats are going to bear out getting that money. But he dropped the ball that could have won the game at Cleveland. You're paying him to make that catch, not so his stats even out.
Back to your use of the phrase juvenile to describe the play calling. And Mark, I might just quibble a little bit with the verbiage there. What offends me more, what bothers me more in watching the Steelers offense, it's not even so much the play calling, i.e. what play goes in at what time. It's the play design. That's where it's juvenile to me. And like you said, living in their fears, everything is so safe. Throw it to Deontay early and underneath because, well, he's going to get open. Throw it safe to Claypool because he's a big body, and worst comes to worst, it's a jump ball and maybe he'll knock it away. But to your point about the middle of the field, how is Freiermuth not targeted until late in the third quarter, early fourth? How do you stay away from Pickens for so long after that great catch he made on Thursday?
Right. You got to feed the guy who's doing it, and Pickens for a brief shining moment was doing it, and then they didn't let him do it. And Freiermuth, I would have drafted Creed Humphrey, and the way they used Freiermuth against Cleveland confirms that.
I think it was actually, Mark, Freiermuth who was wide open. It's funny, that great catch that Pickens made, I'm not sure if you saw the still shots that were going around Twitter, but for as great of a catch as it was, part of the reason it was great is because he was covered, and there was somebody just wide open for what would have been a sure touchdown if the ball was delivered over the middle. I think it was Freiermuth.
That's on Trubisky,
mm-hmm.
obviously. But, you know, again, Tim, when you talk about the offense and the play calling and the missed open guys and the misuse of certain players like Freiermuth, as you said, not targeted until what was it, late in the third quarter, and Pickens being ignored after he had that great catch and I believe one other catch, it's hard to figure out where to start. Like, you when you asked me at the beginning of this podcast to critique the offense, I was like, and it wasn't because, you know, it was hard to find flaw. It was hard to find good.
You need something to balance that, which is why you come out with the offensive line, which has been better.
We got to talk about Najee because I don't know what's up with him. What do you think?
I think it's a little bit of both of what you talked about, whereas he's still obviously compromised, I think, due to injury, but not to the point where he's inept. And I think he's gun-shy and just kind of forgot how to run right after last year.
I think he can't believe after all this time there's still no room.
I don't think he remembers what room looks like. And that's where
Well, no, you're right, because sometimes he has a hole and he doesn't go to it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that's why I think for as much, for lack of a better phrase, praise the offensive line has been getting since the Cleveland game, they can still be better in the run game early to the point that the coaches just lean on the run. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see a drive where they run it 8 out of 10 times on the opening drive and Najee gets a big fistful of yards and it looks like the Patriots at the end of the game. Then I know that they're more inclined to go to the run instead of having Trubisky be the guy that has to lead, to pilot the whole offense because he's just not good enough.
You know what else you never see, Tim? You never see, like, second and two.
Right, yeah.
It's always, like, the best you can hope for is, like, second and six.
And I think that's part of the reason why we don't see Trubisky running as much. Like, he'll go on third and two. He'll go on second and three. But when it's third and 10, that's what he's thinking. I don't know if I got 10 yards in me. I might get five, but I don't know about 10.
Yeah, but you know what? They're still throwing short of the sticks, aren't they?
A lot. Too much. Always are. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Canada's the primary villain. I think I got to criticize Tomlin because he's a lot of, you know, step in, and he's not. We've seen three straight games of inept and chicken-scratch play calling. I think Trubisky's right there as a villain. I think Najee Harris has been disappointing. Tim, I think it's a steak sandwich. I think everybody got to take a bite, don't you?
Yes. So do we make Kenny Pickett take a bite against the Jets?
Not against the Jets. I think that putting him in against the Jets, I mean, he might win, he might play good, and then he's in the death stretch against Buffalo, who lost, you know, against Miami, but they're still real good. Buffalo wasn't going to go undefeated. If they're going to lose, you'd figure they might lose at Miami, and they did. Then, you know, Tampa Bay, then Miami, then Philadelphia. And I think it's reasonable to say if things don't go better, I start picking after the bye week at home against New Orleans. That's the earliest I do it. And I think that's probably what they're thinking, don't you?
At this point, probably, unless the offense is just so inept that they can't hide it anymore. Like, the one thing I'm thinking now is I'm trying to...
Oh, Tim, they're doing a bad job hiding it right now.
Well, do you think Tomlin's about to snap on this, or do you think that he understands this is of his own doing, of his own creation, because they drafted Pickett after signing Trubisky?
I got to be honest, Tim, the way that team thinks, you know, from top to bottom... I think they think they're a good team that just needs a couple good games, a little bit of luck, just something to go their way. I don't think they think there's a problem. I really don't.
They're going to think, let's beat the Jets. We'll be 2-2 after four. We've been in worse spots than this after the first month. You know, we were 0-3. We were 2-6. We've never finished below 500. We'll get in as the 7th seed. Let's just play it out from here. Yeah, I think they're going to need a slap in the face where Trubisky is just so bad they have no choice but to go to Pickett.
Yeah, but are you looking at the Jets as a gimme?
I don't look at anything as a gimme with this team, no. I'm trying to illustrate how they're probably thinking.
Well, right, I saw somebody on Twitter say that, you know, you got to beat the Jets or you're no good. I think Jets fans are thinking you got to beat the Steelers or you're no good.
Right. And we'll see what happens at their quarterback position, too, because I think Zach Wilson is supposed to come back, if not this week, the next, but... you know, Flacco coming in.
I got to be honest. I would want, if I'm the Jets coach, Sala, I'd play Flacco because Flacco's not, I don't know, I don't have the numbers in front of me for their loss this week, Tim, but he's played okay.
And he usually plays very well at Acrisure Stadium.
And he can still throw deep.
And you can beat the Steelers deep.
Tim, like, here's the thing. I think they have no chance to make the playoffs. I think they have no chance to finish 500. And that might seem really stiff when they're 1-2, but that's what I think.
Mark, did you pay any attention at all to the Penguins' first home game? We're taping before the second half of the split against Columbus takes place.
I went.
Oh, you went? How was it?
It was hockey. Far preferable to football. Yeah, I mean, it's all this jabronis playing, you know? I mean, a couple guys played. You know, Zucker played. You know, Pedersen played.
Raquel played, right?
It's hockey, but, you know, I think their roster is all set. I think the only thing that needs to be decided is, you know, one defenseman going down. I think it's going to be Ty Smith just because that gets them under the cap, and POJ and Friedman would have to clear waivers. So I think Ty Smith goes down till they can, I don't know, trade Pedersen, something like that. And then I think that the 12th and 13th forwards are going to be Archibald and maybe O'Connor, and then it's a matter of who plays, but then O'Connor, you know, doesn't have to clear waivers either. So there's just a lot of stuff to figure out. A lot of minor stuff to figure out, I should say. Not much, but minor.
What would you do with Tristan Jarry's contract, Mark?
You have to sign him. I mean, there's not many goalies out there.
So you'd maybe overpay now for the lack of desire to want to worry about this in the future?
Yeah, because I see other good teams just playing goalie-go-round, and I don't think they're getting any better. And they're paying too much. Like, for example, Edmonton wound up with Jack Campbell from Toronto, right?
Mm-hmm.
Toronto winds up with Matt Murray from Ottawa. I mean, I think Jari's going to be pretty good. I mean, I think he could be like a top 10-ish goalie, top half for sure. And I don't know where you go to get another guy you know would be in the top half.
So do you do it this off season, or do you wait until after this season to sign Jari?
I talk about it now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. I don't love him, but I don't see alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to overpay him, but you might have to.
So, like, you know, you're suggesting perhaps then pay him a little bit more so he bites on the security now and you take the pinch early so, you don't have to worry about that part of it either late.
I guess. I mean, if it seems like I'm not sure what to do, that's an accurate assessment of my feelings.
Yeah, it's very much in the middle, and it's kind of hard to assess Jari. It's sort of like the TJ Watt thing in the sense, like, we're all looking at him because of his absence, saying, hey, look, if he had been there, they would have beaten the Rangers. But then again, you know, what did they do with him the year before? So I get what you're saying. He's very much in between right now, and the Penguins have to make a commitment even if they're not 100% solid on it.
Yeah, that's right. So I'd probably sign him. I mean, I wouldn't, like, do the ASAP thing where, you're in a crazy hurry to get it done, but I would try to do it, yeah.
Mark, I got to give you credit. I thought you had a phenomenal call on our gambling podcast that we do for Bet Rivers. What you sniffed out there with the Vegas Golden Knights, I got in on that as soon as you said it. That made a lot of sense to me. Going under on them and missing the playoffs.
I mean, unless Phil scores 90 goals because there's a buffet comp at the end of the tunnel. I don't know. I mean, I think they've ruined their team. And I think they've ruined their goaltending. I have no idea who their goaltending is. Like, it's going to be the guy who played half the season last year with Vegas, half with their farm team in Henderson.
That's a huge hole, and I know that the West is soft on the bottom, but I think they are at the very best the last team out. On the topic of hockey, how was the deck hockey event that you went to with Ryan Malone and company?
Oh, the Ryan Malone thing, yeah, it was really good. It was a lot of fun. It really walked the proper tightrope between silly and serious. Like, they played, but it wasn't blood and guts, you know?
Yeah.
In the final game, was 10-9, the championship. Because they're playing two 15-minute running time periods, right? And I wouldn't call it a goaltending festival. No team had a great goalie. It was all recce-type guys. Like, the Pittsburgh Warriors, you know, the veterans organization that the tournament benefited, they had three teams in. And the final was Tyler Kennedy's team. And, like, Colby Armstrong played for a bunch of different teams. So he played for TK in the final against an RMU team that Bugsy Malone played goal for.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he had that in him.
And he didn't. And Bugsy made a series of saves at the death to win 10-9. I thought it was pretty good. And just Greg Malone was there, Bugsy's dad. He was coaching a bunch of teams from game to game. Neil Walker played. That was fun. Steven Johns, who played for Dallas, the local kid who retired because of concussions, you know, he was there. He played. So it was just a lot of fun. It was so well done, so on time. There were no face-offs. Every time the goalie froze the ball, it was like three ice. They just played it back out, you know. After goal, they played it back out. You know who refereed half the tournament? It was Colby Armstrong's 11-year-old kid, Cruz. I think he's 11. He just dropped the ball at the beginning, then fetched balls when he had to get them back into play, you know? So it was really a special thing. Raised a lot of money for the Pittsburgh Warriors, like I said, the veterans group. And, I told Bugsy next year, if they give me some notice, I'll round up a kids division for him.
Mark, what do you have on the table for your trip?
Well, I'm off Monday and Tuesday, and I'm doing the show from out there Wednesday through Friday. I'm going to see Aerosmith twice, Rod Stewart twice, Get the Let Out once. I got a lot of my usual restaurants lined up. It'll be, a getaway. You know, Tim, it's weird. I'm sick of football already. I don't know about you. I just don't like it enough to watch it all the time.
Well, I think we gorged on it in the off season, so there's very much a
curve.
Well,
that's the thing. We talk about things before training camp. We should wait to talk about till training camp. And then we talk about them again. And as it turns out, quarterback's still an issue, even though it's not really, but that's all some people know how to talk or write about. And, you know, we just, it's like Trubisky, Pickett, Trubisky, Pickett, Trubisky, Pickett. And the bottom line is it doesn't matter which one plays because they're not a good team. Nobody wants to say out loud that the Steelers aren't a good team, which is why we just keep rehashing stuff that matters, but not as much as the fact that they've just assembled a rotten group and they've mangled drafts. You know, they've taken too many shiny new toys. Tim, did you know the last time they drafted an offensive lineman in the first two rounds was David DeCastro in 2012, I think it was.
Yeah, that makes sense. That sounds about right. I know they swung and missed on a couple of, like, second-rounders, you know, Michael Adamses of the world and such, but yeah.
Oh, no, not second-rounders, Tim. They didn't pick anybody in the top two rounds that was an offensive lineman since 2012.
Okay, I think it was DeCastro Adams then in that draft, probably. Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, you know, they whiffed on Kendrick Green, but he was a third-rounder.
Yeah, exactly.
And boy, did they whiff.
Well, Mark, we could always talk about O'Neal Cruz's errors. He's up to 15 now. Is that going to get the attention that the exit velocity is?
It's not getting any attention from me. That's the first I've heard of it. By the way, I tweeted out a picture of me and Neil Walker at the deck hockey event.
Yes.
I really believe, team, that is the management team that can save the Pirates.
Mark Madden, he's on Monday.
One last thing, Tim. I want to get this out because this isn't on my show. Let me predict something for next year for the Pirates.
Okay.
I predict that within the next 2 years, but I'm thinking they want to do it next year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Andrew McCutchen will not get offered a contract with a good team. They'll bring him back to Pittsburgh for another final year or two. And under cover of that, they will trade Brian Reynolds.
Boy, I wish they could trade Brian Reynolds right now because he's so hot he'd actually command something.
Yeah, but, I mean, you're going to keep trading your good players?
They are. Yeah, they are forever. Yes.
Yeah, it was kind of a rhetorical question, wasn't it? Well, you know, it's funny too, because who was I was talking with? It wasn't Locke, but I was talking with somebody that knows baseball. And I guess the latest thing that baseball teams think they need to do, and there's one team that was an example of this, team, maybe you could think of it, is that they ditch all their good players and try to assemble prospects of a similar age so you can get them all to come through at once.
I think Baltimore and Tampa have both kind of done that. Toronto kind of did that.
There's one other, too, that's kind of in the process of doing it. Mm-hmm. At any rate, I'd have to like baseball to really know all this stuff. I don't know that that's a good approach, but in the case of the Pirates, it won't work anyway. Because even if they did get X amount of players to all come through at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm.
You never get enough of those players. And you have to spend to augment to get to the next level, right?
You still need to find your A.J. Burnett and your Francisco Liriano in free agency or trade.
The only reason they find A.J. Burnett is because the Yankees picked up, 90% of his salary?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly.
By the way, Neil Walker and I were talking about, just kind of informally, you know, my approach toward the Pirates.
Yeah.
And we talked about the guys who came on the show, even though that was kind of frowned upon.
Who besides him fit that bill?
Him, A.J. Burnett.
Okay.
Who was like a fan of the show.
Right, yeah.
And Tony Watson.
Oh, Tony Watson. Yeah, sure. He was always...
Yeah, we got them on. And nobody since. The last Pirate guest we had on, well, I think it might have been Walk after he got traded. You know, Neil Walker.
Yeah.
But I think the last active Pirate might have been A.J. Might have been Walker. Might have been Walker. Because Walker... You know, he and I go back, you know, when I covered high schools. Like, I saw him some at Pine Richland.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't cover high schools then, but I saw him play at Pine Richland. And, you know, he's a really good guy.
He's wonderful.
You know, everybody knows.
I think he's coming around as a broadcaster, too.
Yeah. Well, Tim, I always say, I give that broadcast team a lot of credit because they put on a happy face without being absurd.
If they go further, then it becomes cartoonish. You know, then it turns into Bob Uecker in Major League.
Except he got drunk and bitter like by about the third inning. I think Greg Brown's brilliant. I mean Steve Blass was always great. Bob Walk. The only guy who I think lays it on too thick is McHenry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's so new at it. He doesn't have time to become – hasn't had time yet to become embittered in the role. That's the big thing.
You know what they do, too, is they, you know, rotate a lot of guys in and out, you know, besides, you know, Lockie and Bronny. And who's the other guy that's
Joe Block. Joe Block.
Right, exactly. And they rotate the other guys out, and you don't get, like, too jaded.
You know, dot in Kevin Young and Matt Capps and those guys is what you're saying.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They can't, you know, they don't get too, oh my God, they're losing again?
They cherish the moments that they have doing the job.
Like Lanny was the last couple years. Yeah. and I felt bad for Lanny because Lanny's a real pro and he became identified with the team, which is the goal of any, you know, local broadcaster.
Yeah.
But it just, you could tell it just got to him.
Mark Madden. Broadcasting.
Tim, I'm pissed too because even as we speak,
yes,
my bet of the week was I had Tampa Bay giving one and they missed a 2-point conversion to the death to tie Green Bay.
How about mine? Mine was the Chargers and Jaguars over 48. It dropped to 42 because of Herbert's health and it still went over. I'll take that happily.
The Chargers are 1-2. Do you think they're in trouble or do you think they're just kind of, you know, because of Herbert's health?
I think it's mainly because of Herbert's health, but they're not a lock to make the playoffs. No, they're not.
I don't sure anybody's a lock to make the playoffs.
No. Might be except, right about that.
Like, even Buffalo a lot. I mean, don't get me wrong. Buffalo had all them defensive guys hurt.
Yeah.
And Miami's not bad, are they?
No, they can score. And I think they're the second best team in that division. Like I said on the podcast, I think they're the top wild card in the AFC.
See, and that's my point here, Tim. Like, Buffalo's going to kill the Steelers.
Yes.
Tampa will be a close game because I'm not sure Tampa can score a lot of points.
They can't. They're really struggling at 12
today. I think they're going to beat the Steelers, but I think Philly and Miami are going to demolish the Steelers. Just score, 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 score.
And we'll be here to wrap it all up. Make sure you're a part of it. Madden Monday, every Monday, Madden Ben's Unfiltered back. Next Monday, you can see Friday's recap online. At Trib Live, this is Breakfast with Ben's.